If you look at the human body, it's honestly an absolute masterclass in survival.
Oh, for sure.
Like when you get a massive blockage in a major artery, the cardiovascular system doesn't just immediately shut down and surrender. It does something completely fascinating.
Right, it adapts.
Exactly. It creates high-pressure detours. It literally builds entirely new microcapillaries to bypass the blockage, forcing blood through these alternative high-friction routes just to keep the vital organs alive.
Yeah, and that transformation is usually pretty violent, at least internally. I mean, what used to be a simple, invisible background process suddenly requires this immense amount of energy and strain just to maintain a basic equilibrium.
And that biological survival mechanism, that is the exact blueprint of what we are watching happen to the global geopolitical system right now. So welcome to the new W Audio Review for the Sleeping Giant. Today we are delivering the weekly report, Awakening the Sleeping Giant for the week of April 13th.
It is quite a week.
It really is. Our goal for this deep dive is to, completely bypass the mainstream noise and look directly at the raw data of a world in rapid transition. We want to bring you the real picture.
Right, because we are pulling directly from the vital articles and data drops of the week to give you a clear, unvarnished overview of the signals, patterns, and threads currently running through our world. And there is a lot to process for you today because the global architecture is shifting way faster than most people realize.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into the center of that shift.
Right.
Right now, the most immediate visible signal of this transition, the massive arterial blockage in our biological analogy, basically it's happening in the Middle East.
Oh, absolutely. The traditional bureaucratic pathways of diplomacy have completely ruptured.
Yeah, we are seeing this high-stakes standoff involving Iran, the U.S., Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia, and the sheer scale of the maneuvering is just staggering.
We almost saw a complete systemic heart attack. I mean, the sources detail the sudden collapse of the Pakistan-mediated peace talks.
Which was huge news.
Huge. But then a highly fragile 2-week ceasefire was hammered out, literally 2 hours before President Trump's established deadline to bomb Iran's power grid.
Wait, 2 hours.
2 hours, that was the margin. But what's even more revealing in the timeline is the actual composition of the diplomatic teams involved.
Right, the MENAB 168 delegation. Because when I read the breakdown of who Iran actually sent to Islamabad, it did not look like a standard diplomatic mission at all.
No, not at all.
They sent 70 people. You don't send 70 top-tier officials, including the Speaker of Parliament, the Foreign Minister, the Minister of Defense, and crucially, the Central Bank Governor, just to negotiate a simple ceasefire.
Exactly.
They brought experts in nuclear policy, international finance, and military strategy. All these guys holding PhDs, basically sitting down for a 20-hour marathon session with the U.S. team, which was led by J.D. Vance and Steve Witkoff.
And you have to look at the signals there. When a nation sends its central bank governor to a military negotiation, they're signaling that the kinetic war and the financial war are literally the exact same battlefield.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And look at the counter moves happening simultaneously. Saudi Crown Prince MBS was reportedly on the phone offering the White House a $100 billion incentive to finance American war costs.
$100 billion, just to keep the pressure on.
Right. Pitching a direct oil pipeline to Ashdod, and even floating a $1 trillion investment in the U.S. economy. The explicit goal: keep the military pressure on Iran.
But then at the same time, in what looks like a totally contradictory move, the U.S. is releasing $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets.
It's a geopolitical bidding war happening at maximum velocity, and it all physically converges on one geographic choke point, which is the Strait of Hormuz.
Which is massive for anyone who drives a car or buys goods. 20% of the world's oil flows through there. But right now, it is essentially blocked.
Yeah, Iran has set up what the shipping industry is literally calling the Tehran toll booth.
The Tehran toll booth. I mean, the mechanics of that are wild.
Right.
It's heavily restricting global supply lines.
They are charging up to $2 million per ship just for safe passage.
$2 million.
And they aren't even letting just anyone pay the toll. They are restricting access strictly to friendly vessels, specifically Chinese supertankers and Russian ships.
So they are forcing them through this very narrow, highly controlled corridor near Kashim Island. So
Exactly.
going back to our artery analogy, the main artery is completely clogged, and Iran is only letting blood flow through a few hand-picked capillaries. And on the other side, you have U.S. Navy destroyers, like the USS Michael Murphy, attempting to navigate those exact same waters to break the blockage.
It's a massive pressure cooker.
But let's follow the cause and effect here. If 20% of the world energy supply is stuck in the Gulf, How does that physically manifest for you, the listener, just going about your daily life?
Well, it manifests as immediate localized paralysis that very quickly spreads globally. We are looking at what industry insiders have dubbed Black April.
Black April.
Yeah. When you cut the energy flow at the source, the furthest edges of the network basically starve first. Madagascar and Bangladesh have already declared nationwide energy emergencies.
Oh.
The power grids are simply failing. And moving closer to the economic center, Europe is facing severe jet fuel shortages right now. Italian airports are actively rationing fuel.
But you know, the ripple effect that really caught my attention wasn't even the jet fuel, it was the fertilizer.
Oh, the agriculture impact is huge.
The agricultural supply lines are trapped in the Gulf right now. If fertilizer ships are stuck in April, farmers in the Northern Hemisphere can't properly execute their spring planting season.
And if the spring planting season is compromised, crop yields plummet. It's just math.
Right.
When crop yields plummet, the global food supply shrinks heading into the autumn and winter. The cost of basic groceries will naturally skyrocket to reflect that scarcity.
Which brings us directly to the currency we use to buy those groceries. When the tangible resources, the oil, the fertilizer, the food, when they stop moving, the abstract systems built on top of them start to crack.
They have to.
The U.S. M2 money supply just hit an all-time record of $22.6 trillion.
That number is just hard to fathom.
The data shows they have expanded the money supply by $7.1 trillion since 2020 alone. I hear the term M2 dilution thrown around a lot, but I want to make sure we ground this for you. What is the actual mechanical effect of printing $7.1 trillion on the cash sitting in someone's bank account?
Okay, think of the global economy as a massive auction house.
Right, an auction house.
There is a fixed number of real goods available, a set amount of oil, houses, wheat, cars, right. The money supply is simply the total amount of currency people have to bid on those items.
Right.
If central banks suddenly print trillions of new dollars and inject them into that auction, the amount of real goods hasn't changed at all. But the bidding power has artificially doubled.
So everyone has more paper, but there's the same amount of stuff.
Exactly. The result is that the price of the house or the wheat doubles. The real value of the item didn't go up. The purchasing power of the currency used to measure it simply collapsed.
So that creates what we call the illusion of wealth. For anyone listening, you might look at your stock portfolio or the estimated value of your house on Zillow, and the numbers are climbing. You think, great, I'm getting richer.
But you aren't.
Right, you aren't. The numbers are just inflating because the ruler we use to measure value is shrinking. When you actually take that money to the grocery store or the gas pump, you are actively bleeding purchasing power.
And the central banks understand this mathematics perfectly. They assure the public that the fiat system is stable, but their internal actions tell a completely different story.
Like what they're doing with gold.
Exactly. The BRICS nations, China, Russia, India, they have collectively purchased 6,000 tons of gold in just 9 months.
6,000 tons.
That is $91 billion converted from paper to physical metal. They have driven the price of gold to $4,660 an ounce. They aren't buying gold as a speculative investment. They are treating it as a lifeboat. Because they know the debt-based fiat system is mathematically unsustainable.
And the geopolitical map is basically redrawing itself around this new financial reality. The U.S. appears to be pulling back from its traditional role as a global empire, focusing heavily on securing its own hemisphere and its domestic assets.
While China is filling the vacuum, they are aggressively expanding their diplomatic and economic brokering in the Middle East.
Yeah, analysts in the reports suggest that the current military actions of the Israeli government are inadvertently accelerating this isolation. It's pushing the global south further away from the U.S. sphere of influence and accelerating the collapse of the petrodollar system.
Because Iran is already leveraging the Hormuz choke point by demanding passage payments in Chinese yuan or cryptocurrency.
Wow, so bypassing the dollar completely.
Completely. The era of the U.S. dollar being the unchallenged, exclusive mechanism for global energy trade is effectively ending right before our eyes.
Okay, so if the global financial system is fundamentally resetting, moving away from debt-based fiat and toward asset-backed ledgers, then the power structures that controlled the old system are obviously going to fight for survival.
You would think so, yeah.
But instead of a fight, the data shows something that looks way more like a controlled demolition. We are seeing the massive unsealing of the Epstein files. 3.5 million pages of documents are being systematically released.
3.5 million. The sheer volume of documents is notable, but the precision of the exposure is really what we need to focus on here.
Right.
It is a highly targeted unraveling of a decades-old protection network. I mean, Bill Gates has been officially summoned to testify under oath before Congress on June 10th.
June 10th, yeah.
Pam Bondi, who previously had access to federal files related to these cases, was subpoenaed but refused to sit for questioning. We saw the First Lady make a sudden, highly specific statement directly from the White House podium defending her name in relation to the network.
And at the exact same time, we learned that crucial FBI interview notes regarding this blackmail network were mysteriously deleted from their database.
Yeah.
Five major, completely unprecedented dominoes falling in a single week. And the newly unsealed documents aren't just pointing to Hollywood or domestic politicians either. They are linking this entire blackmail apparatus directly to Gulf monarchies.
The files show massive wire transfers flowing seamlessly between Manhattan, Riyadh, and Tehran.
Which brings the entire picture into focus. The Middle East conflict, the breakdown of diplomacy, the blackmail files, they are all interconnected threads of the exact same global ledger.
And the sources report that active military operations are underway by the Earth Alliance, which are often referred to in the data as white hats.
Right.
These operations are reportedly clearing out underground bases across more than 100 countries.
100 countries? That's a massive scale.
It is. They are seizing bioweapon laboratories, collapsing subterranean human trafficking tunnels, and securing the physical infrastructure needed to actually roll out a quantum financial system.
Wait, I need to pause here because we just leaped from global macroeconomics to underground subterranean warfare.
I know. It sounds like a leap.
What is the mechanical link between a military group collapsing a trafficking tunnel and the implementation of a new global financial system? Because to a lot of people, those seem like two completely separate realities.
It's all deeply connected by the concept of leverage.
Leverage, okay.
The old fiat financial system wasn't just maintained by banking regulations. It was maintained by the dark networks we just discussed.
Right.
Blackmail, human trafficking, and illicit operations, those generated the unregulated dark money that provided the ultimate leverage over global politicians, regulators, and corporate leaders.
Ah, I see.
You cannot install a transparent, asset-backed quantum financial system, which operates on an unhackable, decentralized ledger, while the architects of the old system still hold blackmail material over the very people required to authorize the transition.
So you have to literally clear the board. Dismantling the underground networks and exposing the Epstein files isn't just about justice. It's a structural necessity for the new system.
Yeah.
You remove the blackmail leverage, the old leaders lose their immunity, the fiat debt system is allowed to naturally collapse, and the quantum financial system, backed by the physical gold that BRICS and others have been hoarding, basically takes its place.
That's the mechanism. It is a systematic, planet-wide transition of power. And clearing these underground bases isn't merely about destroying the old corruption either. It's also about what is being recovered from those facilities.
And this is where the weekly report pushes into serious paradigm-shifting territory, because the sources are detailing the recovery of advanced technologies that have been suppressed for decades.
Right.
Specifically, quantum-free energy technologies seized by the Earth Alliance, which are reportedly being prepped for public deployment. Let's talk about the mechanics of that. Mm. We're so used to burning fossil fuels or splitting atoms just to boil water and spin a turbine.
The old way.
Right. How does quantum-free energy fundamentally change that equation for you and me?
Well, according to the technical data in the reports, these systems don't rely on combustible fuel sources at all. They tap directly into the ambient zero-point energy field.
Zero-point energy.
Right. The underlying quantum state of the environment itself. They pull energy from the vacuum, effectively providing limitless decentralized power without the need for massive refinement infrastructure, pipelines, or all the global supply chains we just saw clogging up the Strait of Hormuz.
Which is incredible to think about.
Yeah.
Releasing that kind of technology doesn't just change the power grid. It instantly obsoletes the entire petrodollar system.
Overnight.
The $100 billion offers, the toll booths, the entire geopolitical chess match over oil just vanishes. But a transition that massive generates an incredible amount of friction. And we are seeing a deeply disturbing pattern in the data regarding the people who actually build and monitor these advanced systems.
Yes. Over the past few years, the sources have tracked at least 9 high-profile U.S. scientists tied to advanced space and energy programs who have either turned up dead or vanished entirely.
And these aren't low-level technicians we're talking about. Let's look at the specific backgrounds here. Michael David Hicks, who published over 80 scientific papers for NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Right.
Carl Grillmeyer, an astrophysicist who specifically worked on orbital telescopes tracking foreign satellites. Melissa Cassius from Los Alamos National Labs, which is basically the heart of deep-level nuclear and energy research in the U.S.
And retired General William McCasland.
Yes, who oversaw the Air Force Research Lab's most advanced space and surveillance programs.
The thread connecting all these individuals is their high-level expertise in advanced surveillance, propulsion, and energy physics. I mean, they were the people designing the sensors that look deep into space right. and the systems that manage advanced energy.
It really makes you question the mainstream narrative. When you look at an astrophysicist building orbital tracking telescopes or an engineer working on deep infrared systems, and they suddenly go missing right as we are on the precipice of massive government disclosures, it paints a very intense picture.
It does.
Perhaps they weren't victims of random accidents. Perhaps their work brought them too close to the hidden infrastructure of this technological paradigm shift, and they were caught in the crossfire of the transition.
And the pressure surrounding this hidden infrastructure is now breaching the surface of official government channels. The disclosure is actively being forced from within.
Which we're seeing in Congress right now.
We are. We have congressional whistleblowers like Representative Tim Burchett and Matt Gaetz going on the record about classified briefings they've received regarding non-human intelligence.
Yeah.
They are openly discussing the reality of UFO retrieval programs and the existence of secret alien-human hybrid breeding facilities.
And Congressman Burchett, he didn't hold back at all. He went on record saying that if the public actually heard what he heard in those secured briefings, the country would come unglued and it would, quote, set the earth on fire.
Which is a heavy statement.
Very heavy. And we are watching the bureaucratic gears turn to prepare for exactly that. Official U.S. government agencies recently registered federal website domains like alien.gov. You don't build that kind of digital infrastructure unless you are actively preparing the framework.
Right.
For a massive coordinated public disclosure.
Exactly. When you take a step back and view all of these threads together, the sheer scale of the transition becomes totally undeniable.
Yeah.
We started with the physical, localized choke point of the Strait of Hormuz, basically the starvation of the old fiat economy. We trace that to the controlled demolition of the hidden financial and blackmail networks that maintained the old power structure.
The Epstein files. The trafficking tunnels.
Right. And that dismantling has led directly to the recovery of suppressed quantum energy and the imminent disclosure of non-human intelligence.
It's the awakening of the sleeping giant. The old systems of control are being actively dismantled, and the truths that were buried underground, both literally and figuratively, are rushing to the surface. It is an incredible moment in human history to be paying attention.
The arterial blockage is forcing the creation of a totally new circulatory system. The high-friction struggle we are witnessing is just the birth pangs of a completely redefined reality.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over this week. Right now, our entire global society is completely organized around the concept of scarcity.
Everything is.
The wars in the Middle East, the inflation of our currency, the panic over fertilizer and groceries. It is all driven by the fear that there isn't enough to go around. But if the data holds true, if quantum free energy and the reality of non-human intelligence are truly on the horizon, how will that foundational concept of scarcity vanish from the human psyche?
That's the real shift.
And once we no longer have to spend every waking moment fighting just to survive, what kind of world will you choose to build in its place?
That is the ultimate question we will all have to answer as the new system comes online.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Sleeping Giant Deep Dive. Keep your eyes open, question the narratives, and keep watching the patterns. We'll be right here to help you navigate the raw data next week.